Welcome everybody to the SideQuest 2016 Super Special Edition. Is this the first podcast of 2016 that we've recorded? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2016, everybody. I know you've all been anxiously awaiting for us to reveal that it's 2016 before you started celebrating. So we're just a few days late, but SideQuesting wishes you all a wonderful new year. I am Dolly Domofsky, and as usual, I'm joined by the beautiful and wonderful Tom Johnson.
Hey, what's up, guys?
The extravagant Robin Miller.
Hello, friends.
The super snazzy Ben Wayan.
Hi, how's it going?
And the luscious Sam Dixon will be joining us at some point. And we have a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We're going to dive into some of the things that we've been playing, and then we have some of our predictions for 2016. We think it's going to be a pretty fun year. So let's talk about what we've been playing. And I'm going to start with Robin. What have you been playing?
Still Fallout 4, so I'm not going to get into too much detail about that. The main thing I played, and actually played all the way through, was Her Story.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I saw you tweeting about that.
I'm a bit late on that bandwagon, but it was a very interesting experience. Effectively, the gameplay consists of you as a presumed investigator going through an old database looking at video recordings from a murder case. And as you watch them, you generate new keywords from what the actress is saying and try to unlock more and more videos to figure out what exactly is going on. Even though that doesn't sound like the most exciting premise of games, I was actually really quickly sucked in because the actress who plays Hannah does such a great job of engaging you while also seeming enough, like suspicious enough and innocent enough to make you wonder what the true story is. Mm-hmm. So I actually played it all the way through. I ended up using a bit of a trick I noticed early on to unlock all the videos because I'm a completionist, but it was a very cool experience. I definitely recommend it for anyone who's a fan of that kind of interactive storytelling.
Very cool. Yeah, it's on Steam and iOS and Android right now, I think, right?
Yes, I believe so. I played it on Steam. It was great.
And the actress was nominated. Wasn't she nominated at the Game Awards?
She was.
Yeah,
that's actually what piqued my interest because it's not every day. I mean, typically you have voice actors and voice actresses, but for her to be on camera like that and actually playing a character in this interactive story, I thought was really neat.
Awesome. Very cool.
And it doesn't provide all the answers, which I like too. You can kind of piece together your own evidence based on what you've been seeing.
And I guess that's what the game's really about. It's not a super long experience either, right? It's a couple hours or so I've been hearing, but it's all about how you piece things together and how you unlock things. So it feels like it's a pretty, you know, an in-depth game. I love that kind of stuff. It actually, the premise of it, and you explaining it right now, almost reminds me of the Serial podcast. No yawning, Tom. Wake up, drink some coffee. But Serial, have you guys listened to Serial?
I listened to the first season.
I've heard of it, and it's currently on my little app to listen to.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, so it almost reminds me a little bit of that, just at least from the explanations I've heard. But I'm looking to check this out. I've heard so many great things about the actor involved and the writing. I heard was phenomenal. So cool. What did you play on PC?
Yes.
Okay, and it's like it's designed to look like. Recordings. Yeah, right? Okay.
It looks like an old school computer monitor within a monitor. You can even go through the recycle bin on it and find old like notepad memos on there. You can also play a mini game on the interface too and find some nifty things hidden around. So it's interesting. It takes place in an alternate universe where Y2K actually did mess up everything, which is their explanation for the poor ordering of the database entries and why I have to go through and manually search for all of them. So it's really neat.
Yeah, it seems like an awesome. I'm so glad we're in such an awesome time right now with gaming where we can have games like this, right? You wouldn't have had this 10 years ago. It would have been tough to have this 5 years ago because things like XBLA and so on were really just taking off. So thankfully, indies have totally redefined that the gaming space. Very cool. Have you been playing anything else besides while I'm in that?
I've been playing Tom's favorite game, Undertale.
Ooh. Do tell about this.
I haven't gotten very far into it, which is why I saved it for last, because I am no good with bullet hell games, but effectively it's a old school styled RPG game where you can actually choose to go all the way through it without killing an enemy. So you have the option between fighting and acting, and based on cues that the enemy gives you, like you'll have one that's really proud of his hat. So you'll figure out if you don't acknowledge his hat, eventually he'll get upset and you can essentially spare him. So it's a very interesting dynamic in that respect. And I understand that things get more interesting with subsequent playthroughs where you have characters responding differently to you based on whether you spared them or killed them in previous playthroughs. So it seems fascinating. The story I haven't gotten too much into, but you play a child that has climbed this mountain and that leads to the monster world where the monsters were imprisoned after a battle with humans. So you're trapped and trying to find a way back out of the mountain, away from the monsters. So it's interesting. The game cheats a little bit. The game cheats. Because it legitimately cheats. Pardon?
It like legitimately cheats too. It's not even just like being, man, I suck at this game. It cheats. Like, you know, that game will screw with you.
Yes. So it's a bit cruel. It even breaks its own rules as they're presented to you. So most people end up making a very bad decision in one of the first major fights that you encounter. And thankfully I knew about that in advance, but it's completely out there at times. I can only play it in 15 minute spurts too, because of the bullet hell thing. You have a little heart, and you have to use the directional keys to avoid incoming attacks. And that just causes me to rage quit a lot.
I heard so many great things about this game. It was the kind of game that, I mean, it was on so many podcasts and the kind of the retro flavorings of it. So I'll get to it eventually, I guess.
It's an experience. I like it. The soundtrack is really great, too, if you're into the retro sound. I've really enjoyed it. The writing's hilarious. The characters are memorable. One of my favorites is Papyrus. And, of course, it's in Papyrus text font. Whenever he speaks, he's one of the skeletons you meet early on. So it's fun.
Cool. Excellent. Ben, what have you been playing lately, my friend?
I decided to go back to my backlog.
Your backlog.
So I've been playing recently Final Fantasy 13 on the PC.
Final Fantasy 13, the first one?
Yes, the first one.
Okay.
So I went all the way back to that, and I've been playing it on the PC. So luckily, I can actually connect my PS4 controller to it and be able to play it that way instead of using the keyboard and mouse, which is
easier
using the controller. But other than that, still some Rocket League.
Rocket League is going to be one of those games that people play forever, it seems like.
I don't think there's a day that hasn't gone by that I don't play the game at all. I sort of skipped on my best of 2015 games, and that would have been my game of the year was Rocket League right there.
Yeah, that would have been, okay. Yeah, I know Aaron loved it. I think that was his game of the year, too. But cool, yeah, excellent. You play anything else besides Rocket League?
A little bit of Star Wars Battlefront.
Okay.
Here and there. Other than that, that's what
Cool. Your network connection is stuttering a little bit, so we may need to go camera list. That might help our situation a little bit here. But I have been playing Fallout 4.
You finally got to it?
Yeah. Yay! Well, so. After I went through Fallout 3, and I took your advice, Tom, Fallout 3 really is pretty short. Surprisingly.
Hey, we're going to the end now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like I heard all these stories. That's a 300-hour game, and I'm thinking, I ain't got time for that, to quote internet memes. And not today. That's the latest one, right? Not today, which is really – but And then I played it. I'm like, you know, let me give it a shot. And yeah, it went by pretty quickly. But I enjoyed it. And I beat the game. I was a very low level. I think I was at like level 17 when I completed the game, which is low by the comparison to a lot of, you know, FAQs I read and stuff I read afterwards. So I wanted to see if I missed anything. But yeah, and I enjoyed it. So I got sucked in.
Oh, and you got to play that game at a time when they didn't have like the worst ending choices ever.
And yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, Fallout 3 and God bless you, Xbox One backwards compatibility. I really, you know, I appreciate that. And so that led right into Fallout 4. So I started playing Fallout 4 and I started enjoying Fallout 4 and I'm going to be playing Fallout 4 for a long time. But if it wasn't for the backwards compatibility, I probably wouldn't have picked up Fallout 4 on, you know, for a few months. But being sucked into Fallout 3, it just felt kind of natural. And because that Fallout 4 snuck into my best of 2015. So, yeah, it worked out really well in the end there. Let's see here. What else? In the order, I decided to just go back and finish the order. I've been on a backlog rampage. I know. Sorry. I've been on a backlog rampage. I actually, The Order is not a great game by any means. I wouldn't even call it a good game, but it has some pretty interesting characters, and it's basically giant cutscenes. It's one long cutscene, is what it seems like, with like a few shooting arenas placed in there. So, but somebody took all the cutscenes from the game and spliced it together into a movie and posted it on YouTube, and it's like 3.5 hours long, and the entire game is like 5 hours long. It shows you if you know more than 3/4 of the game is cutscene, and you only have like an hour and a half or maybe 2 hours of everything else, then you didn't quite balance, you know, action versus movie in it very well. But it's gorgeous, it's absolutely beautiful. I love walking around, 1800s London. So let's see, that was that. Hearthstone, I'm playing Hearthstone a lot, and I've gotten to the point in Hearthstone where I don't consider myself good at all. I don't consider myself decent either. But whatever they're doing when it comes to matchmaking, I still end up winning games against people, which is bizarre to me. I've never been like on the winning end of anything when it comes to anything. I'm usually like FPS game, forget it, I suck, you know, MOBA, forget it, I'm gone. Fighting game, nope, I can't do it. But Hearthstone, for some reason, their matchmaking is really good, and I'm able to actually win games against people who seem to know what they're doing, because they, a lot of them have way better cards than I do, but they're combos aren't coming up, because you can pull off some really nice combos with Hearthstone. And if you don't land the combo and you have like a mixed bag of cards, then the other player has a complete advantage. And half the time I'm just throwing out, you know, a taunt enemy for anybody that does anybody plays Hearthstone. I'm just throwing out like taunt enemies and sucking up damage while my other guys are going in for, you know, with spells and stuff. So it's been fun. And let's see what else. And then Picross for the 3DS. Yeah, Picross, thank you, Picross. It's a free-to-play game on the 3DS, but I always loved the Picross games. I actually had them on my DS, and I guess they go all the way back to like the Game Boy, which is bizarre. Yeah. I didn't know that. But I had a couple on the DS, and they're just – it's very simple. It's kind of like Sudoku, but more – maybe the reason I like it so much, or I like the games that style, is it's more about the visual and the graphic. You're trying to reveal an image. You're using numbers to reveal an image. So I like it for that reason. And it's free, which means it's free to play, which means I'm not going to get sucked into it. What's that?
Is it really?
Yeah, it's totally free to play. Yeah. So, and you could play it kind of like the other Pokemon games, which is on the 3DS, which is you play until you play a couple levels, and then you have to wait for the timer to warm back up, which I'm totally fine, because that prevents me from spending like, you know, hours and hours and hours and then and getting bored with the game that quick. It's like these little bite-sized things, and Hearthstone's the same way, you know, little bite-sized things that I can do, you know, play for like a half hour, and that's it. That's all I need to do. 20 to 30 minutes, I'm done for the day. So, and I wish Sam was here, because I was going to bring up Amiibo Festival. And that is not a good game at all. Let me rephrase it. It's not a good game for anybody older than 7 or 8, 9 years old. If you're younger, it's just like all you're doing in the game is going around a board. That's it. You're just going around the board collecting bells, and that's it. Or happy points, as whatever. There's you don't do anything in this game. It's very boring, but for little kids, it's perfect because you're not, you know, when you have like a Mario Party or another type of party game, and a lot of kids aren't physically able to do all the stuff that some of the other games ask you. But for younger kids, it's perfect. They're, you know, they're able to. Okay, Sam says he's on his way. They're able to play this game with minimal, you know, effort. So, yeah, very good. Not good. Very good for my daughter. Not good for anybody playing with her because it's totally boring. But at least you can do other things when your kid is playing the game. So, that's it. Tom, what have you been playing, my friend?
It's a good question. That cat game on my iPhone count? A cat collection
game? No, Nick, that's me. I love that game.
So I need your guys' help. Okay, I need your guys' help. I have had the game loaded on my thing for like forever on my iPhone. Not a single cat. I haven't seen one stupid cat in your time.
You have to check back regularly and make sure there's food in the bowl.
Oh, my Lord. What is up with that?
I played a bunch of Rust on Steam.
Rust, okay.
That's a bad game, but I played about 40 hours of it. Because I have a bunch of people from college I play with, and it's just real. It's not a good game. You shouldn't play that. There are too many of those like weird survival crafting building games.
Yeah, there are tons of them.
I started playing Oxenfree. That's a pretty cool game so far. Okay. It's made by former Telltale people, and I like it more than any of those games.
Ooh. Talk to me a little bit about this because I haven't heard of this one.
It's kind of like it's like a 2D adventure game type thing, and you're like a group of teenagers on an island. It gets kind of weird and like creepy at times, which I like. Like you're walking around, you get separated, and then like there's weird dimensional shifts, and you're tracking creepy frequencies on like a radio. I'm only about an hour in, so I haven't finished it at all, but it seems really cool. It seems really neat. I'm looking forward to finishing more of it. Hey, it's Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Hi, my friends.
Your beard is more magnificent. It was magnificent before, but now it's growing in magnificence.
In magnificence, I love it.
It is very large. I don't think I've... Ooh, I'm trying to think. Yeah, probably not since September, maybe? Oof, November? Wow. Probably November. I mean, I've done some trimming, but...
It looks good. I'm staring. I'm in awe of it right now. Well, we're just going through what we've been playing, and Tom was just explaining Oxenfree.
Ooh.
Yeah. That game's neat, though. I think that's about it. Okay. I've been trying to find things to play, but it's like been a really slow time. Oh, I played a ton of Amplitude, too.
Okay.
And that game is exactly that other game. It's straight up what that first one was. Like it is, they remade Amplitude in almost every single way, except the soundtrack is worse. Like that's about it.
All right. Well, what about you, Sam? I know you were you're actually the last on our list, and I know you actually had a game you want to talk to us about.
Yes. Well, I had reviewed this weekend, and it went up yesterday. The Deadly Tower of Monsters, a game by Ace Team. Who made the Xeno Clash games 1 and 2, and then. I can't remember. Odyssey something. Doesn't matter. Deadly Tower Monsters is a great game based off of like 1940s, 1950s horror films. And like the big monster kind of genre that kind of elapsed from that. And man, what a creative game. It's they make certain monsters move in stop motion. It's really interesting. Like I suggest everybody go watch a trailer of it. It's definitely... I think I said in my review, without sounding like a cliche, like it's definitely something that's unique and really isn't coming out anywhere else currently.
I read your review and I love that era of the era of game. Oh, Ben's dropping out. Sorry, Ben. Hopefully we can get you back on. He's having connection issues. Yeah, I love that era of monster movies, so I'm glad you're
Yo, this looks awesome.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not even something that, like, I mean, obviously not nostalgic for. I wasn't alive in the 40s or 50s. But it's never really been, like, an aesthetic that, like, I've really sought out or thought that was very interesting. Like, I don't even watch horror movies now. I'm not very interested in them. But, like, yeah, I just, like, something, the way that they represent all those monsters, and, like, very clearly, and they even mention it in some of the dialogue, that these monsters are clearly based off of intellectual properties that they don't own, just makes they just take, like, every monster that you can think of and just mash it into the game, because what's, you know, this is not based on a real thing, why not just take everything you can find? I think I kind of hinted at the review that it uses that aesthetic to somehow make, like, not like a Metroidvania style game. There are certain times you get powers and will encourage you to return to certain areas to, like, unlock upgrades and stuff. But really you could just climb the tower. It's, you load into the game and you just climb the tower. And when you reach the top, game over effectively. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple little areas to explore. I don't think I've, like, played a game world where it's just, like, you can see from the moment you start, you can see everything you get to. I think the only, like, other representation like that I've seen is, like, the screenshots of The Witness, where it's just, like, here's the entire island. You know, it doesn't have the greatest combat. It's pretty lackluster when it comes to, like, the combat type stuff. At some point, you basically can just mash your way through the entire game. But this, like, the whole point of the story is, it's like being narrated by the original director of the film, in air quotes, that, like, directed the original movie, and there's just, like, the DVD re-release of that and his audio commentary that's on top of it. And I mean, there's obviously, because it's based off what it's based off of, there's a couple of, like, really hit or miss dialogue. Like, the director is, like, three lines away from being, like, way too sexist.
But just so, sexist enough.
Well, yeah, well, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, well, he's, like, you know, like a C-list, like, director from, like, the 40s. Like, of course he has, like, probably that, and, like, maybe a twinge of racism, even though, like, all the characters are white.
How many times does he call women broads?
It's not so much broads, but there's, like, one point where he's like, you know, it was actually groundbreaking that we had a woman as, like, one of the main characters. Like, I made sure, like, to point out to the director, or, like, point out to the producers that, like, this is groundbreaking and we should do this. And, like, yeah, it's, you know, there's a couple of lines where you're like, I don't know if we really should have gone that far. But otherwise, he talks about, like, he's like, oh, yeah, this monster really turned out well on screen. And, like, you can see, like, clearly the stick that, like, the stage hands that we're holding onto to, like, have the monster's arm in the level. And, I don't want to spoil the end, but there's, like, a couple of scenes where you, like, can clearly see the actors on strings, like, being lowered down to the ground and stuff. They, like, play up how, like, campy and bad those films were. Mm-hmm. And it just seems weird to me. Like, you know, who would have thought that they were going to take, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, nostalgia is really popular in games right now. Why don't we just go nostalgia for, like, films and, like, black and white films and all that type of stuff. Mm. There's a couple of segments where it's like the filming, like, the screen changes to black and white. And they mentioned that they needed to do it to save money on production. It's comedic. It's definitely, like, a fun world to explore, but the combat is boring, I would say.
Yo, if you buy it on Steam, it comes with a digital, like, glamour calendar of, like, ladies in costume.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, every time you, like, boot up the game, like, the original poster artwork, which I think is on my review, has the robot holding the girl, but every time you boot up the game, it's another, like, they switch it around, so, like, one time it's, like, the guy holding the robot, or it's, like, it's like, the guy holding, or it's, like, the girl holding the guy, and one time he's, like, wait, that's not the, like, I start up the game, and he's, like, wait, that's not the original poster, and, like, the audio director that's, like, working with him to film his commentary is, like, yeah, well, the studio thought that maybe this version would play a little bit better in today's society. And he's like, well, that's dumb. I don't know why you do that.
Very
That's
cool.
That's great. I bought that. I'm looking forward to playing that. Thank you for that hot recommendation.
It's something that, like, Ace Team makes really good games, and it was, like, something that was, like, sort of on my radar. And then when I, like, started playing it, I was like, wow, like, what a great game that no one seems to be talking about. Even reviews. I don't think there's that many sites that even reviewed it. What a mistake. Like, that game is the perfect, like, do you need to spend an afternoon and you don't want to play The Order or Until Dawn? Here's this.
And Ace Team's had some crazy, you know, they did the Xeno Clash games, Rock of Ages, Abyss Odyssey, and of this.
Yeah, Abyss Odyssey is the one I was thinking of earlier. But yeah, they make really, like very specific games, I would say. Mm-hmm. I feel like the vision of what everything will look like is what drives them when they're creating, not really what type of gameplay they want to start out with.
Cool. Well, what else have you been playing?
Well, I did finish The Order, but I know Tom doesn't want to talk about
it. Well,
about The Order.
Almost
done. Why not?
Go ahead. Don't ruin the ending for me. I'm chapter 14 right now.
You gave me one awesome recommendation. You might as well add some bullshit to it.
You need the yin and the yang.
So salty.
Yeah.
I hate it so much. It's like he gets off now in like games that I hate.
Who?
I brought up Amiibo Festival as well.
Oh, man. Listen, there is nothing wrong. If you pay $10 for The Order, there is nothing wrong with The Order. If you pay $60 for The Order, yeah, okay, there might be something wrong with The Order.
If I paid $10 for The Order and $9.84 for that other game that you recommended to me, which one am I going to feel better about at the end of it?
Probably the Deadly Tower, I would say.
You had to think about that a little too long there.
Yeah. Well, the reason that I would recommend it over the other would be stuff that I don't want to talk about since Dali has yet to get to that, I'm assuming. But I'll just say without ruining anything, like towards the end of that, like big question marks start rising up. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that is true.
Can they set it up for a sequel? Can you tell me that?
I mean, I don't want to.
You just want to ruin it for me.
Yeah.
Excellent. And so that's it? That's all you've been playing? That's enough? No, just kidding. More Tony Hawk?
Tony Hawk and, again, Smash Brothers. But as I've said before, that's a lifestyle now.
Tony Hawk and Smash Brothers is a lifestyle. That's brilliant. Very cool. Well, we have been playing a ton of stuff. We've had a couple reviews go up, and actually there's another review sitting in the queue, which I need to look over. And in the meantime, take a look at our best of lists. I've been the last one to finish my best of list. It's finally in the draft, and I'm going to publish it tonight. But take a look at our best of lists. A bunch of us on staff have done these really cool lists of games that have interested us throughout the year. So, some really interesting combinations of games. Everybody had some really cool stuff. Let's move on to the year that is coming. I was going to say the year that was.
That's here
the
now. Year
that, exactly. The year that is 2016. All that phrasing was just horrible. I'm getting really tired. I've been in training all day at the office, and then I had to go teach a class. Blech. Okay, enough whining. Yes, 2016 predictions, and this is always fun to do because we're usually wrong, but every once in a long while we get some crazy prediction that comes true. And we thought it would be fun to go over some predictions. I'm sliding down in my chair right now. Let me get up like an adult. To go over some of our predictions for 2016. And I know we're a few weeks in already, but there's still time. We got 11 plus months left to go. So I figured we'd all chime in with maybe three predictions at first and see how we're going on time, and we could discuss them and go from there. It's going to be a big year in games because now that the two major consoles have kind of settled and they're hitting their stride and PS4 games are actually going to start coming out in 2016. So I think it'll be an interesting time. So let's start with our predictions. Who wants to go first? feel free to chime in.
Okay. Right. I have a we'll fairly
go with
safe
one, each.
One.
We'll go with one each. Yeah.
Okay. I have a fairly safe one. I think that it's kind of a combination of things that'll happen. There's going to be a pretty significant drop in the price of the Wii U because I think they're going to reveal the NX at E3. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be ready this year, but if it is, I imagine it'll be ready to go over the holiday season. Mm-hmm.
I think they need to at this point because they're losing. And they did, I guess they did okay. They actually had their second biggest month ever in December of this past season, which is crazy to think because they made that much money. They sold that many Wii U's. But it has not dropped in price. I mean, it should be like $199. At this point, mm-hmm. if that much, right? It should be 150. You're actually moving units because you can't even find Xbox 360s floating around anymore in like Best Buy and stuff. All that's and they're down to like almost like $99 in many cases. So, for technology, it's comparable. I'm wondering why Nintendo hasn't gone forward with it. But I mean, they got a ton of games coming up. I don't want to say a ton. They have Star Fox and Zelda supposedly coming out this year. So. I think it's a safe one, and I think that's one that needs to happen quickly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're going to lose more ground.
I also think they're going to split the new Zelda like they did with Twilight Princess. So I think it's going to be on both consoles, or at least I hope it will be.
So what was interesting was I'm in the same boat. I think they're going to do that too. What was interesting when they first delayed Zelda, because remember it was going to be 2015, and then they came out last year, like at the beginning of January, and they said, hey, you know, we have some sad news, or maybe it was end of December last year. I don't know when it was. Sad news, sorry. We are, we've come across, we're going to be delaying Zelda. It won't make 2015. We've come across some new technology, and this was the exact words. We've come across some new technology that we're looking to employ. Well, what could be new technology? I mean, it's got to be a new console.
900p. That's what it is.
900p, right? You guys see that that survey that supposedly leaked today about the NX? 900p gaming. Awesome. So actually goes backward from the Wii U. It's 4K, but it's not only 900p, which is bizarre.
No.
Yeah. So, anyways, but I'm agreeing with you. I think Zelda's going to be a split game, and it worked out fine for Twilight Princess.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means? It means that? A lot of amiibo support for the NX.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, that's going to go into my prediction. I'll hop into the prediction here. I think we're going to finally get amiibo. I'm calling it Amiibo Series 2, and it's amiibo closer to what Disney Infinity and Skylanders are, in that they'll be able to hold a little bit more. They'll have a better memory, and you can use one amiibo across several games instead of just being single game specific. Because for those that don't know, the way amiibos work right now, you register it with a game and it stays with that game. If you register it with any other game, you have to wipe the data from that original game off the amiibo, which totally sucks. If you have something on Smash Brothers, you've built up your character to level 50, and you want to play that Mario in like Mario Party or something, or in Yoshi's Woolly World, and you have to wipe out that data to, you know, raise the level of your character in other games. So I think we're going to get, I'm calling it Amiibo Series 2, and it's going to be an enhanced amiibo that'll let you do actually contain like more like user data and data across a variety of games instead of just a single game. And it'll really will be more of like a physical avatar. That's my prediction. How about Sam? What's your prediction?
Do we want to go with a safe one or a crazy one?
Go with the safe one. Mine was a relatively safe one.
Okay. I'm not thinking, but we're all pretty much aware that Destiny 2 is probably coming out this year.
Oh, you think so?
I mean, if they are still following with what was the leaked court documents from years ago, in their contract, it was supposed to be like full game, like 1.5 version, which would have been the Taken King last year, and then another full title the year after. So we would be in line for Destiny 2, and it's also kind of weird that they, you know, shifted they publicly not acknowledged that they had DLC that was planned for Destiny 1, and they've shifted to that microtransaction model now.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's no longer any DLC patches, what are the teams that were building those working on? And arguably, once they've finished the Taken King, there's a whole, you know, there's half a studio that's not working on anything. So I think it's safe to say that probably around E3, you'll start to hear the murmurings, and then they'll show it off again. Unless they do one of those, I know when they announced Destiny, they did that like special, oh, like Bungie in-house like announcement. They just brought a whole bunch of people and showed artwork. But my other prediction with that is that game gets delayed out until January, February of 2017.
I don't think it'll arrive in 2017. I mean, I think they're working on Destiny 2, but I think Destiny 1.5, Taken King, has become so popular, and it's actually playing like what was always promised of Destiny. I don't think they'd want to sacrifice all those people playing that game just to try to get Destiny 2 out the door. So I actually think, if anything, my opinion, we'll have we'll get some sort of cinematic trailer for Destiny 2 at some point this year. Maybe that's E3. Maybe we'll get our first inkling then. But inkling. But we won't. But that game will be 2017. I think we're still a year and a half away or whatever from maybe 2 years from Destiny 2. Sorry. Yeah, I think it's just doing so well that I don't think they need to come up with a sequel.
Yeah, I'm almost worried that they don't even think about making a Destiny 2 for the foreseeable future, and then just keep updating Destiny 1 for like another year or two. Just, you know, maybe releasing what would be the content worth of Destiny 2, but just on Destiny 1's platform, so you don't split the user base.
If you can transfer all your character and stuff, your data over to Destiny 2, then they could potentially pull it off.
All that stuff is like just stored server side.
So yeah, that's true. So it could migrate over fairly quickly. So yeah, I mean, you know, Activision likes to put out it annualizes the heck out of its games. So I could see Destiny something big launching this year.
I think that a real Destiny 2 would have to leave the old consoles behind.
You think so? Oh, yeah, the 360.
Because they said that game works, and they said that whole engine for design is a goddamn nightmare because of those consoles. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like when they want to load a map to edit, they have to load it up before they leave the night before to be loaded when they get in the next day.
Wow, that's crazy.
Like, they said it's just a terrible nightmare. That's 90% of that reason is because of the old console stuff.
Is that on? It's not on PC, is it?
No.
Do you think that maybe then this year we get a PC version?
They've been very staunchly against it.
Okay.
Saying like this does not work with like we don't want this on a PC. I would like it.
Yeah.
I think it's Activision's like mindset that they don't like. Well, I guess Skylanders is now on PC and stuff like that too.
Yeah. And iOS.
It was always like it seemed like when Destiny launched that all their tentpoles were supposed to be strictly console based. Other than Call of Duty, just because the shooter crowd still exists on PC. But at this point with like PS4 and Xbox One sell through rates, it almost seems crazy unless, you know, they start a Destiny 2 with PC in mind to want to translate that game over.
Okay. All right. Well, Robin, what's your next prediction?
Okay.
Round two of predictions.
I think that Assassin's Creed is actually going to skip a year this year, which I know has been mentioned.
Well, I actually had that as well.
But I'm going to take that a step further because in accordance with that rumor, it's often been said that it's going to be taking place in ancient Egypt. Mm. And we already had a Egyptian assassin introduced to us in Brotherhood, Amunet, who killed Cleopatra. So I think it's going to be the first Assassin's Creed main franchise entry with a sole female protagonist.
Cool. I'd be into that, and I'm hopeful they skip this year and refocus as well. I mean, Syndicate was good. You enjoyed it. I know a lot of people.
I love Syndicate.
It. Yeah. I'd like to see them skip a year just so they don't become over annualized. That can always be a Although there was a rumor, and if this pans out, I think it'd be the smart thing to do, that they were looking to potentially reissue the kind of Assassin's Creed 2 saga as a collection in like high def, or you know, the modern visual design in the modern engine for the consoles for this year.
What about the other rumor, Dolly? That taking its place is Watch Dogs 2.
That's the other rumor. Watch Dogs 2. Yeah, Watch Dogs 2. Or I would love Prince of Persia, bring that back. But yeah, Watch Dogs 2, you're right. That could be it. Maybe it's going to be Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed flip-flopping every year.
They spent way too much money on Watch Dogs for it to become a one-off thing.
And they said they were working on another one. They said that they were working on
it. They also made it, like, it didn't receive very well, but it made a ton of money.
It did. It sold a ton. Yeah. It was it was essentially the last big I take it back, it wasn't the last big open world game of the last gen, but before this generation really dropped, that was that was one of the games that was featured heavily.
That was the one that let us know that there were consoles coming They were like, we're not saying what console it is and it's only for high-end PCs.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Right. Surprise, it's on the Wii U. somehow it's on the Wii U. I think you're in line. I think you're probably right on with that Assassin's Creed skipping a year. It's a smart thing to do. I'm gonna go in. I was gonna say when I wrote this all up, I was gonna do a prediction post, and I had esports will explode this year, but then ESPN went ahead and announced their whole esport thing, and now they have it's like tied into their main sports feed on their website. And there are plans to integrate it more on SportsCenter. So yeah, esports is here. It doesn't even need to explode. It's here. So I'm scrapping that one, and I am gonna hop in with. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say that this will again not be the year of VR, no matter how much everybody wants it to be. Even though everything is releasing this year, but. I think Oculus isn't going to be as great as everyone – isn't going to put as big of a dent as everyone thinks it will. I do think PlayStation VR will be the one that is mass – it's the one that everyone will hear about because it'll – it's the most accessible to the most people. It's most consistent, at least for me.
Cheaper.
What's that?
It'll be drastically cheaper.
Be drastically cheaper. It's not going to be nearly as great of an experience as the Oculus Revive, just because of the nature of the system and stuff, but it'll be way more accessible. But at the same time, I think I almost fear that it's gonna harm VR rather than help it. It'll be instantly accessible to a lot more folks, potential buyers. At the same time, it's gonna be, I don't want to say gimmicky, but it's not gonna be as gorgeous of an experience on like a home console than it would be on a PC. So people are getting the impression that, oh yeah, it's kind of neat, whatever. It would look better if it was like the real HD vision, the 1080 visuals. And I just don't think the PS4 has the processing power to pull off true VR like the Vive or the Oculus. So because of that, like I said, I think we'll see more of VR. I don't think it'll explode like everybody thinks it will, though. I think we're still a year or so off until it actually hits the masses.
Well, I mean,
I completely agree.
The iPhone didn't really take off until the 3GS, so that totally makes sense.
That's true. Yeah. It could take a couple generations.
Well, in my prediction, what we're going to get to is, like, I don't, like, Sony VR is supposed to be within the second quarter, right? I think is what they said. Yeah. I'm thinking that gets delayed. You know, I don't think we hear about that until E3 and it comes out in holiday. I am so in fear of a Sony executive or a PlayStation exec walking out on stage and announcing a price tag of anywhere near $500 or $600. Because the last time they did that was the PS3, and we all saw how well that went over for them.
All right, what are our predictions for PlayStation VR price?
Oh, it's going to be $400.
You think $400, $399?
$400, it's going to come with No Man's Sky.
Wow. See, that's rumored. Coming out. I don't think it'll be coming. I don't think it'll come with No Man's Sky, but I think it's rumored.
Because there are people I've spoken to in the development community that said that that thing has been done and they've been holding it for a specific piece of hardware, software.
Yeah.
They said that thing was done months ago before in holiday.
Oh, it's been sitting there. I mean, it's been the stuff's been done. I've tried it at PlayStation Experience, and everything seemed ready to go.
I think that thing will launch at the same time as No Man's
Sky. I think it'll launch at the same time. I think they are making a VR No Man's Sky, which could be a pretty killer app. I don't think
that's
it'll
a smart
be
move too.
Bundled with it, like as the launch thing. Although there may be a version that's bundled with it, but yeah, I agree. I think there's No Man's Sky being VR. What about I think also $399.
The people who are saying the thing's gonna be $800 are crazy.
Yeah.
There's no way that Sony comes out and says $500 or $600 unless they want to get slaughtered in the press before it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. However, I think it will be. I think it'll be $399, but they're not gonna bundle it with the Move controllers, which you really want to use. Yeah. So those are gonna be extra. They may even have new Move controllers that they showcase at E3 for this thing. So
it needs to come with some sort of software though, because
it does.
You can't launch by himself without having like a proof of concept, and I think Wii Sports like made sure anything like that will always happen.
Yeah, Oculus is coming with what, two games? I don't know. I bought one. So they need to sell it with something.
Yeah. What is your next? Was that your prediction, Sam? Or
Well, I mean, I have more of a fear if you want to talk about.
Sure. It's fine.
I'm so worried that The Division is going to come out and it is just not going to work the day it comes out, and everybody's going to be so upset about it.
that seems like an inevitability, but I really hope that it's Ubisoft, right? I hope they've learned from their past mistakes, I guess.
Well, they have that beta at the end of the month, but then again, they also had a beta for Rainbow Six Siege, and that game didn't do well its first week online. And there was another one. Watch Dogs didn't launch well online.
Nope, it didn't. It didn't. They have that. Unfortunately, have that the history.
Floating eyeballs and disjointed teeth for days,
which is so wrong with Assassin's Creed Unity, but it's so great in Fallout. that could very well happen with The Division. Tom, what's your second? Prediction.
Back to VR, I think that HTC Vive is not going to be as big as everyone thinks it's going to, because I think it's going to be wildly expensive.
I agree with you.
I think it's going to be over $1,000.
Oh yeah, I think so too. Although everybody knows it's $1,500
probably.
I think everybody that's used it says that's the premier experience.
See, here's the thing. Everyone I know that's used it says that even in the demo rooms that they use it with, that they specifically designed for that thing, it's not big enough.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. Yeah, you need like space. But that's closer to the holodeck feel of VR that we've always wanted.
I can totally see that thing launching for $1,500.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too.
Jeez.
Because you need the set of, what is it, three or four cameras?
Yep.
That headset is packed with way more stuff than the Oculus one.
It will be successful because they'll say, "Oh, it also comes bundled with Half-Life 3." all of a sudden, it's the fastest selling consumer product on the planet.
Because they launch it with Half-Life 3, and then someone cracks it, puts it on the Pirate Bay, and then they don't sell any of them.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, exactly.
It has all that extra hardware. The Oculus needs like three USB 3.0 and one like USB like 2.0.
Is it 3-in-1 or is it 2-in-1?
I thought it was 3-in-1. I could be wrong. But like with all those extra sensors, how many USB ports are you going to need for this thing?
Yeah, exactly. It's beyond ridiculous right now. And with stuff like, you're never going to be able to use the laptop. That's for sure. Because laptops, A, only have two USB ports, and B, are wildly underpowered, as I've learned speccing out. See if I could get the Oculus, and I cannot. It won't run. But yeah, it's definitely for desktops. You're going to build a dedicated VR machine for the Vive.
Because it has – I think it's three or four cameras, but that means you're going to have to run wires for three cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have them plugged into something. Oculus is three ports total, but two USB 3.
Okay.
It's an HDMI 1.3.
Okay. For the video. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So let's go with our third prediction. You can make this as crazy as you want, Robin. as mundane as you want. Go ahead.
Okay. Last Guardian is going to squeak out a release in the fourth quarter of this year.
Oh, that is a crazy prediction.
Yeah, I know. I've lost my mind. The first two were safe-ish. So I feel like I need to go off the deep end for my last one.
All right. Well, what's crazy is when or if that happens, Final Fantasy 15 is due this year as well. Mm-hmm. So there are, and you know, there's some pretty big games showing up, but I actually think The Last Guardian will launch, but it won't be nearly as great of a game as everybody wants it to be.
There's no way that's it can fear. Be now.
Yeah.
that's my fear too. There's no way it can live up to the anticipation. If had it launched when it was first announced or close to that, it would have been an incredible game. But now it's been outdated by the length of its own development.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can only run a game development for like 12, 13 years before before it gets,
it's going to be a year full of Duke Nukem Forevers.
There you go. Exactly. A bunch of those
it's not going to be that bad. I'm still going to love it. I'm still going to cry whenever the kid or animal thing or both die.
I thought inevitably you were talking about The Last Guardian. I thought you were talking about Final Fantasy 15. And
I'm going to hop in with my prediction in that we're going to get with the very nature of publishing changing and mobile, it has taken over. I mean, we brought it up last year with every single ad on the Super Bowl was for a mobile game, not a single console or PC game in the Super Bowl. And that is telling in a way, because there's all this money being thrown around. And consoles aren't making as much money for selling selling games or making whatever. It's not like it was in the past where every month there was like a 4, 5, 6, three or four 10 million sellers. I think there's going to be a huge merger. And I think of companies like Square and Ubisoft who seem maybe fit for each other because they have – both have great Montreal studios, or EA and someone merging. So I think that we're going to get a pretty substantial merger, or even someone like Activision coming in and gobbling up Take-Two or someone, I think that that's going to happen because I think they just need to happen for the pure sustainability of how big some of these franchises are. You cannot survive just on Call of Duty and Destiny and Skylanders, because as we've seen, two of those three have lost sales this year. And Destiny was a 1.5. So you're going to need mergers this year, I think. So I think that's, there's going to be a big one. My bets right now are either Square and Ubisoft or like Take-Two and Activision gobbling up Take-Two, because now Activision bought out the rest of its own stock, so from Vivendi. So I think there's something's going to happen. I think it needs to happen. I don't think it'll happen with any of the big three console, developers or anything, but I think it'll be with third-party publishers.
Maybe Sega just changes its name fully to Atlas now.
Yeah,
There we go.
That's like the only good games that are coming out of it right now.
Oh God, Persona 5 comes out this year, doesn't it?
Yes, that does too. Mm-hmm. That does. Yep, Persona 5. Something that's that Sega's teasing for Sonic for the 30th anniversary.
Oh, I'm sure that'll be great.
Yeah. 25th anniversary, whatever. Sam, what about you? What's your third prediction?
I don't know. I did not have a third prediction written down. So I'm gonna free. I don't know. Go to somebody else real quick.
Okay, Tom.
I think we are going to see more of Kojima's Thing at E3.
Oh, really?
Like, concept art or like
something.
I'm not gonna say we're gonna see like a trailer. I'm not gonna say we're anything. But I will not be surprised if we see him on stage and say because like they already did that thing with him and Andrew House like spitting mad game in his wonderful Japanese.
He's gonna you know what? He is gonna walk out on stage at Sony's press conference.
Especially since they wouldn't let him come to the United States all last year and for like the Game Awards and all that stuff. He's definitely don't see him not being there.
And it's just in typical Kojima timeline, in how long it takes to develop a game. We won't. I doubt we'll see anything like a trailer. I can guarantee you he won't be far off. Mm-hmm. But maybe a logo. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be like a Shenmue 3 thing.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay, that's a good prediction. Did you come up with anything yet, Sam?
Yeah, actually, I did. I thought about this yesterday. I don't know why I didn't remember it. I think that one of the console manufacturers, probably Sony or Microsoft, not Nintendo, is going to come out with their own like dedicated MMO type game that will be exclusive to their console.
You mean Agent?
maybe. But I think like it's kind of hard to ignore the type of Destiny style games that have really been taking off recently. And for a publisher like Sony, who has like gone out and like basically acquired the exclusive stuff to Destiny for a year, it seems to make sense for them to want to make that their own and keep it. And obviously Activision has no interest in selling Destiny. But I wonder if for Microsoft that ends up being something like Crackdown 3, because they have all those extra servers on top of it for that destruction stuff anyway. But I mean, once we see more about that game, maybe we'll find out. But
does Sea of Thieves fit that bill? Because isn't that an MMO?
Yeah. To be honest, I think it does. So, yeah, there you go. So it already happened. Yay, man.
I totally forgot about that until just now when you brought that up.
Yeah, so did I.
I'm surprised that our predictions haven't been as crazy or as wild as as they probably have been in the past. I think mostly because it seems like everything's been announced.
Ouya 2.
Well, I'm going to throw out two announcements here, or two predictions here. Two predictions here because breaking news.
World exclusive.
World exclusive. World premiere. No, because I think we're going to get these announced this year. The next BioShock will get announced this year.
Ooh.
And Dead Space will make a comeback.
Yay!
I love the Dead Space series. In fact,
you play 3, Dolly?
I'm halfway through 3, and I stopped playing because my backlog. So I'm hoping that's one of the games that will show up on the Xbox back catalog.
You're gonna finish that game. You're gonna be like, I don't want any of these.
No, I do. I want. I love the Dead
final
Space
boss
series.
In that game is the dumbest thing.
I can't wait. Okay, but anyways, I think those two. We find out about those two games because we don't know anything else that's happening at EA besides, Unraveled, which comes out like in a couple weeks here, and BioWare's game. So.
Can I ask you something about on the topic of EA?
Mm-hmm.
Do any of you guys think they're going to make good on that Battlefront season pass? Do you think that's not going to be a huge disappointment?
I'm curious. I don't know.
$50 American.
Ooh, there's no way that can live up to that.
Yeah, have they shown or talked about any of
them? That's the next of them. No. Nope.
They said maybe Chewbacca will come to it. Maybe
Chewbacca.
Because they said they're definitely. Chewbacca. They said they're definitely keeping Force Awakens out of it.
Yeah.
By the way, you've just named this episode. It's maybe Chewbacca.
I tell you what, I think if we're talking about predictions, I think we see Fallout 4's DLC before we hear anything about that.
You know what? That'd be
DLC? Space DLC. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll get Skyrim this year, or at least announced this year? Because they had that running in the engine.
There's no reason why that can't be on there. At least it's backwards compatibility because it is the exact same engine as Fallout 4.
When is Dishonored 2 coming out? Is Dishonored 2 coming out in fall, or is it?
I think it was March, but it got delayed. I think.
Now it just says 2016.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Womp womp.
Yeah, that's a game that might not even make it out this year, I don't think.
I don't think so. I think it will.
I think that they have too much on their plate this year.
Yeah, because they've shown that CGI thing, but we haven't seen anything since then. Like, no gameplay, nothing. So, we'll see.
I'm hopeful. Any other predictions for this year? How about the NX is kind of the weird industry elephant in the room. What do you guys think it's going to be? Because there was there's a survey that leaked it yesterday and today on NeoGAF that was from some marketing agency supposedly asking about Nintendo products. And in it, they casually asked if people would want some type of hybrid home console, portable console. And if they wanted 4K video streaming and 900p gaming capability, which again, at 1080p is what the Wii U puts out right now. So, anybody have any predictions about the NX? Because they're going to announce it this year, supposedly.
I think if they do the hybrid thing, it's going to be either way more expensive or woefully underpowered.
Well, think of it this way. You need to have a portable PS4. If you want it to match the PS4, it's got to cost as much as the PS4.
Be smaller.
Yeah, be smaller, which is going to jack the price up, and then you have to add a screen on top of it. Mm-mm. So that's like adding $150 to $200.
And they have to add a good screen, because Nintendo screens are usually garbage.
Really bad, yeah.
My big fear is that as soon as it comes out, it's going to be outdated and sort of reaffirm that Nintendo's a little bit out of touch with what their hardware should be.
This one is going to be 4 GameCubes duct taped.
Sweet, cannot wait. go ahead.
I do kind of like, I don't think it's what's actually it could be. There's that rumor that people think it's going to be like, we get a handheld first, and then we get a console, because the 3DS came out in, what, 2011, 2010?
2011, yeah.
Well, if it's going to be a modular system like that, it almost makes sense to let, like, the console come out, you know, like the dedicated home software come out first and then make the portable one. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they go that route, if maybe those things end up not communicating well together just because they weren't like developed together. But I don't know.
The 3DS is going to be 5 years old.
I don't know what I want the NX to be. I want it to be a home console. But I don't want it to be like the PS4 or the Xbox One. I want it to be something unique and different. The reason I kept the Wii around for so long was because it was completely different, or very different than the other consoles. Yeah, the visuals sucked. I wish they would have gone to HD, but it was all about that kind of social play, that the motion control, and it worked for what I wanted it to be, which was just nerdy little fun system that you broke out when friends were over, and that was basically it, right? And so I'd love the whatever this NX is going to be to not try to compete with the Xbox One or the PS4, because Nintendo is usually best when they're not trying to compete. And yet the Wii U, they full on, surprisingly, people forget that they competed with the last gen, because Nintendo came out and said in that leaked Kotaku document thing of developers, they said, yeah, this is it's just like an Xbox 360, but with a tablet screen. I mean, they literally said it, just like an Xbox 360, the power of an Xbox 360. So they're trying to compete with older generation. But yeah, I want this thing interesting and new and unique that makes me want to play things for it that aren't on other consoles, if that makes sense. Like,
but I feel like that could also be what gimps the console, though, can it?
It could be. It totally could be. But I'd almost rather have a motion sensing hula hoop that I wear, because it will be different and it'll provide me a very different experience than what I'm getting on my PS4 and Xbox One. I don't want it to compete with those two consoles. I don't.
Well, I wonder if maybe like everybody's been thinking about it backwards, and maybe it's just a dedicated handheld system that ends up being a little bit stronger than the Vita that then you can plug into your TV and like use the Wiimotes and all that stuff that they already have out there. I think I would almost prefer that, because it seems like a lot of the time is like Nintendo products make like really good dedicated single player games, and then make like really great kind of like multiplayer party games too.
Yeah.
So why not make like a handheld that you can use, like kind of like the Wii U gamepad that you can take anywhere with wherever. And then when you get home, like, oh, I have friends coming over, I'll plug it into my TV, and now we all play using Wiimotes.
Yep.
I love that.
that would be great to do that. I think that would be when they first showed the Wii U, a lot of us thought that the gamepad was something you could take with you somewhere and play your home games, you know?
Do you remember when they showed that announcement and people were like, wait, is it an add-on for the Wii?
When was it? Over the holiday, someone asked me, hey, where can I get this controller where can I get the Wii U? I said, well, you can go to any store and get it. Okay, so I can use that controller with the original Wii, right? I go, no, it's a different console. And Nintendo's messaging was horrible on what this thing was. But I agree. I mean, that would be very cool. I'd love that, because I could replace my 3DS. I could replace my my Wii U. I could replace all my handheld consoles. At the same time, I don't want this big bulky thing. I have the 6 Plus. If this is the size of the successor, I'm fine with that this size screen, 5.5 inches, whatever it is, with a flip up and then maybe some buttons on the bottom. Granted, this device is like $700. Wow, hold on, you can see my reflection in there. It's kind of cool.
Whoa.
Whoa. This device is like, if you were to buy it outright, it's like $700.
It's like $900.
$900, yeah. Yeah. $900. People aren't going to pay that. However, maybe Nintendo comes up with a way. Maybe the NX isn't so much just a console. Maybe it's like a subsidized device, right? So you get it, you get a contract, you get a data contract to any of your, you know, whatever you have on your phone system, phone lines, whatever. And then you subsidize the device. You're paying like $25 for it monthly or whatever. You're paying $10 for it monthly or $20 for it monthly. And then you get the data. So you could take it with you and you could plug it in at home too. I don't know. Maybe that's a better way to do it.
I hate being like such a dissenting opinion this week, but like most carriers are like doing away with subsidies.
Oh, that's true. That's right. Maybe this is the – yeah, maybe there's a different way to do it, I guess.
Yeah, maybe you like buy in and you get like some sort of like specific Nintendo service that you sign up
for. But I mean you can go and get a – you have AT&T Next, or you can go get your iPhone. We just switched one of our iPhones to AT&T Next and it actually dropped our price from our subsidy, what we were paying before. So because subsidized, it was just the phone, I think, was added into the monthly cost, right? And now we were paying like $25 extra. You pull out the subsidy and you're just paying for the data.
And then you pay like a monthly fee for the phone.
You pay monthly for the phone, yeah, until you pay it off. So you can drop – whenever you're ready to pay off the phone, you can just pay it off just like any other device. So – which is pretty cool. So that's what that could be a way to do it. You're paying for the data and then you're paying like $20 a month for the phone or something.
They're working on that new loyalty program. So I wonder if they somehow like integrated in that where it's like, well, you can buy an NX like straight up and whatnot, but like, you know, oh, we see that you're a Nintendo fan and like, you know, you buy the NX and like maybe even like a Nintendo subscription gives you like 20% off every title that comes out from Nintendo publishers and stuff. And
go ahead.
The thing that worries me is like, because this thing has to be more expensive than a Wii or a Wii U at launch.
It does. It's gonna
The thing about Nintendo handhelds is like, that was the thing that like every kid had. So like I came from a household with 5 kids and all of us had a DS. All of us had these things because they were so cheap.
So
does every kid have an NX?
Right. Well, here's an idea, and here's something that it's a little bit out there but could be kind of cool, right? So like, you have think of the Nvidia Shield, right? Is that the thing that's like that portable you can plug your
streams over Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so you have those controllers. There's those Android controllers and even some iOS controllers. Now you plug your iPhone into it, and it's like the screen, but you're still playing an iOS game. Everybody has a phone. Every kid has some type of device, whether it's a tablet or a phone. What if the portable version of the NX is that app that you log into the app, much like on live or whatever it used to be, and you play your NX games with a attachment that hooks onto your phone, like a really nice, elegant attachment. So any kid could play NX games on their newer iPhones, you know, iPhone 5 Plus or 6 Plus or something, a 6 onward, I should say. So that you do have the nice quality screen because you already have that, and you don't have to bring an extra piece of equipment with you. You just plug a nice, simple, elegant controller into your phone and it streams through an app. Like maybe that's some way to do it, you know. Like OnLive did it for the Android devices. Didn't work out too well because there wasn't a backlog, but Nintendo could certainly pull it off and say, hey, the NX, the portable NX is the it's your phone with our controller that clips into it. We've worked with Apple and Samsung, whatever, to make these nice elegant controllers. And then when you're home, you just you pop out that controller, and that's your controller for playing on your console at home. I guess I don't want to have yet another portable device to take with me, because I'm happy just using my phone and having one simple device. I'm all about simplicity. The less crap I have to carry in my bag, the better. I don't know. Was I rambling too much? I mean, is that feasible? Just a clip-on controller with an app?
It would.
I don't
know. The issue there would be the connections, the up and down speed. Because have you ever tried to PS4 remote play with a Vita?
But what if the that controller was stored your data? Like, what if that
cached it? You mean?
What if it cached it, or cached some portion of the game, or something like cached all the single player stuff? From, you know, Assassin's Creed Egypt, whatever. And so you use that, the controller plugs it into your phone, you're able to do some basic gaming stuff on there for a few hours, and you go back to your house and it's the, you know, it instantly picks up, but in the full game where you left.
Yeah, that could be like a solution to it. Because
could be some solution.
Up and down.
We're brainstorming right now, by the way, since nobody has any idea of what this could
nope.
be.
Nope.
Yeah.
Now the up and
I
down
think that's something we will see someday.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm not sure if it's something we're going to see on the NX, but I think that's a really elegant idea. And it's kind of a inevitable thing with mobile gaming in and of itself becoming huge. Yeah. And portables that from Nintendo are still huge. So I think that's something we'll definitely see.
Yeah, I think that you're right. That's the most elegant way to handle gaming, is you just pause it wherever you are, whether it's your phone or at home, and pick up somewhere else.
Maybe they'll finally crack the suspend feature that Xbox and PS4 have so.
Yeah, and Nintendo has it on the 3DS in a weird way, and they had it with the DS, and you just close the clamshell, and they never did anything with it on anything else. Any other predictions? Any other predictions? Anything crazy out there? Just throw something crazy at me. Whatever, throw it.
I already threw my crazy thing
out.
Yeah,
you did. You did. Yeah.
Fuck.
quickly.
I don't know. Rage 2. Who knows? I have no idea.
How about crazy? Metal Gear gets DLC this year. Sometime.
Whoa. What's that?
Didn't they before? Like, because Kojima had to know he was leaving for like months and months and months. Didn't they say at some point, like some random Konami guy, they're like, yeah, the plan is to like remake Metal Gear 1 and 2.
In that engine.
Yeah, like, because that's where that game is leading to. So like, I'd be really cool with that. I doubt they'll do it, but that's what I want.
I'm going to say Call of Duty is going to go back to either Modern Warfare or World War 2. Because I'm sick of the futuristic stuff.
What about time travel in Call of Duty?
Ooh, that would be awesome. And
you play in all the different
Doctor Who.
Have you guys played Black Ops 3?
Is it time?
Kind of does that.
I just realized that Time Splitters is at EA, but I just thought it was like, how cool would it be if they just made like a Time Splitters Call of Duty, and it was just like the characters from Time Splitters just showing up in Call of Duty games like over the years. That would be so great.
Go ahead.
I am all about a Call of Duty Time Split thing. Like that part, like
Call of Duty time travel.
There's a part, not that anyone really gives a shit about the lore of Call of Duty Black Ops, but there is a part in that game where you are not in the future, and it's the coolest part of that game.
You know what? Here's a prediction. We're going to get an online-only Call of Duty this year.
Like in China?
Like they have in China, yeah. But it'll be the big push into the U.S., and it'll be...
the last-gen consoles basically got that.
Yeah, right. That's basically all it was. Yeah, it's a good point.
Well, if Titanfall 2 comes out this year, do you think it has a campaign or not?
Didn't it say that they were working on something else?
They're working on a second game. They said they're working on Titanfall 2 and a second game. Because I saw that article and I got really upset because I thought they
were. You know what's interesting? I just read the final hours of Titanfall on my on the iPad. I forgot that I had it on there, and it was kind of interesting because they were working on a third person game at first, and it transitioned over to what ended up becoming Titanfall. But there you go. Yeah, you know what? They're going to announce Titanfall 2 this year. I like that. That's a good.
That I like happen. That too.
That will happen. Now, I like Titanfall.
I love that game.
It was a lot of fun. It got so overshadowed so quickly by everything else that was
coming. I bought Xbox One because of that game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was one of the few online shooters I played too. Yep. So I loved it.
So yeah, I think we'll get a fully online Call of Duty. That's a good point. And then we'll, let's see here. This will be the, I almost want to say this will be the final year for Skylanders, but it won't be because we know they're making movies and TV shows and now.
They're also making a buttload of money.
It's not making as much money as it used to from the figurines, but they're stretching the IP now. Oh, you know what? Here's a prediction. We're going to get a Nintendo IP-based movie, at least an announcement or a trailer this year. But we're finally going to get a Nintendo-based movie and a new TV show. There we go.
Super Mario Brothers Super Show 2.
That's still played a lot in my house. As horrible of a series as it was, it's still being played in my house regularly. Thanks to DVD. All right, and that's it. I think we're done for now. Cool. Thank you all for joining. Thank you all for being a part of this wonderful experience, for joining us on our 2016 predictions episode. Please follow us, visit the website, sidequesting.com. Take a look at our best of 2015, and maybe we'll do a little 2016 thing here. A bunch of us will be heading to PAX, so we'll have information about that soon. God, there's so much stuff. There's a lot of fun things happening. Now that things are starting to slow down with or the holidays over, there are some more articles and reviews and stuff that are starting to pop up. So take a look at that great stuff. Rate and review us on iTunes, as usual, on Stitcher, on Zune, if that's your thing, whatever. We'll be up on Google Play pretty soon here, and anywhere else. You can find us on Twitter at SideQuesting. You can find us on Twitch at SideQuesting. I believe it's SideQuesting TV. And I think it's SideQuesting or SideQuesting TV or something.
SideQuesting TV.
On YouTube as well, so I'm not 100% sure. And where can we find you guys? You can find me at Dolly Domofsky. Where can we find you, Robin?
At A. Robin Miller, and that's Robin with a Y.
Nice. How about you, Sam?
At SamDI79 on Twitter.
Tom?
I'm at that Tom Johnson on Twitter.
And Bin is at BinXYN. That's spelled NGUYEN. And congratulations to Bin, by the way. He put a ring on it.
So woo!
That was awesome. Nice. You can find me on Peach. I am at Dalibor on Peach. I've just started using that. I have no idea how. Other than that, we will see you all on the next episode of the Side Quest. We love you.